together. I got a couple of questions for the adults that I'd love for you to contemplate, and then I want to take you to one of my favorite Easter places. And the question is simply this: who's Easter for? I mean, in some ways it's for the kids. The kids get sugar and apparently gifts. I don't know who's giving Easter gifts to each other, but parents are all one and up in one another. I would tell you this. I thought for a long time, because I read the Gospel of John often in the Easter season, that maybe Easter's for people like John, disciples like John. You remember that John talks about himself differently in the Gospel of John, right? He calls himself what in the Gospel? You remember? He calls himself the disciple Jesus loved, the beloved disciple. He tells you in the resurrection passage where they go to the empty tomb, right? Remember what he said? He said like six times how much faster he is a runner than Peter, right? He beat Peter there. And he's really fast and Jesus loves him the most. And remember what he said about the Last Supper? Do you remember? Where were they sitting? What did he tell you about the way they were sitting? He basically says the word in the Greek is pretty close to cuddle. He's basically like, I was cuddling with Jesus during the Lord's Supper. Like, Jesus loved me the most. We translate it, he says, he had his head on his shoulder. And then he's the disciple. All the disciples fled when Jesus went to the cross. Only John was there. Now, maybe you see yourself like John. Anybody in the room, you're like, I'm like John. I pretty much get it right most of the time, and I'm pretty confident Jesus loves me the most. My guess is most of us feel more like Peter. Like, I've blown it quite a few times. I need to be reminded that Jesus loves me. One of my mentors, who's a great theologian, he's now retired, and he posted something this week that just nailed what I thought about Easter. He said, just fact of Easter, right? He said, so Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We all know that. He says, I've done it for less. Anybody else be honest enough to go like, I've done it for less. I betrayed Jesus because I wanted comfort. I betrayed Jesus because I wasn't willing to take a stand. I betrayed Jesus just, I'm not even sure why. There wasn't even a payday involved. I just didn't do what I know I was meant to do. And what I want to invite you into in this Easter that I believe is really, really good news, and part of what makes it good news, is this reality of failure. Unless you feel like you're like John, that you always got it right, most of us are here just like, I kind of keep getting some things wrong. Well, guess what? Easter is for you. I want to remind you of the commonality of betrayal. We're all more like Judas than we want to let on. We're looking and angling for our own agenda, and we get angry with Jesus when his agenda doesn't fit our agenda. And guess what? There's a lot going on in this world right now that does not fit Jesus' agenda very well. He has a love for all people. He has a care for all people, and he's called us to do the same. In the midst of that, when we see our sins and our failures, right, it's an opportunity to embrace the sweetness of grace. Brené Brown says this about it. Brené Brown says, the grace means that all of your mistakes now serve a purpose instead of serving shame. Now that's good news, that our failures and our mistakes actually lead us and guide us to create the character that we need to have. My friend Brian Zahn says it this way, and I think he's right. He says, if we tell the story of Judas as a bad guy who sold out Jesus to make a few bucks, it has the advantage of being something we would never do. Betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We would never do that. So we've established a safe distance between ourselves and Judas Iscariot. Ecclesia, you're more like Peter. I'm more like Peter. We're more like Judas. And in the midst of it, I want to invite you to see today in John chapter 21 how Jesus treats people who fail him. In fact, even for our kids, I want to invite you to just be as meditative as you can. We're going to look for as close to silence as we can get in this room, and I want to just set the scene for you. I want to visually take you to one of my favorite places in the world. This is what we know. Peter spent his time with Jesus bragging. He was the one that was going to get it right. He was the one that would die with Jesus. He's the one that would never leave Jesus, and he guaranteed, right? Anybody ever gone through like, I'm going to guarantee you I won't fail. And then when things got hard, Peter failed in a big public way. It's so public that thousands of years later, we're gathered in a room talking about Peter's failures. Can you imagine if your failures were broadcast throughout time and space and history? That's what it felt like to be Peter. So we find ourselves in one of the most beautiful places on the planet. Peter was locked in a house with the disciples. The disciples couldn't figure out what to do. Jesus had come and appeared to them. He'd eaten food with them. But it was kind of like the elephant in the room. Anybody been with somebody that you failed them and you never quite talked about it? And there was just this distance, and Peter didn't know how to move forward. So he decided just to go back to what he knew, and he went fishing. And this is where we find ourselves. This is the Sea of Galilee. On the Sea of Galilee is where Jesus performed most of his miracles. It's the place the disciples felt at home. It's the place Peter felt at home. And we're early in the morning on the Sea of Galilee. Peter has been fishing all night. And if you can imagine fishing all night and he's caught nothing, zilch, not a minnow, not a fish, nothing. It feels like failure is becoming Peter's new norm. So what does Jesus do? Jesus shows up on the beach. And he takes the form, not of a judge who's come to condemn, but of a breakfast chef who's come to prepare breakfast for the person and the people that he loves. Peter, it tells us in the Gospel of John, denied Jesus in front of a charcoal fire. So what did Jesus do on the beach of the Sea of Galilee? He prepared a charcoal fire. Anybody remember what it's like to have a memory triggered by a scent? A scent you can never forget. And here Peter is smelling the scent that once brought shame. And the same smell now is one of grace. Because Jesus isn't there to condemn him. He's there to love him. He's there to accept him just as he is. So imagine this, and it takes a little bit of holy imagination. Jesus takes the fish that Peter brings in. He puts it on the grill. I'm guessing that he grilled a few other things that he found around the Sea of Galilee. He brought the same kind of bread that you would get in Jerusalem today, a circular bread. We often call it pita bread. If we make a sandwich with it, we open it up. We put whatever is we're grilling into the middle of it. I'm guessing if Jesus is your chef, he found some mangoes or he found some dates. And he put together a holy Jesus-style salsa. Now, I don't know what you call that, but it looks to me an awful lot like a taco. Ecclesia, imagine. Jesus has every right to condemn. And what does he do? He makes Peter a taco. And here's the good news. Jesus is making a taco for you. Jesus sees you right where you are in the midst of your own failures, your own mistakes, the sin fresh on you. And he's longing to make you a taco and say, I want to sit with you. I want to forgive you. I want you to know what resurrection looks like in your life. And I invite you to experience my love. So I want to guide you through a few resurrection stories, and in doing so, we're going to celebrate them with a song. It's a song that I love, and it's become a bit of an Easter anthem. And in it, I want you to see yourself not only in these stories, but in the places God is leading you to abide with Him. So join with me and sing with me. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He see, one of the places we see the resurrection alive and well in our community is when we get to walk with our brothers and sisters that are in a season that they are living unhoused. One of the things that happens when you go from living on the streets to finding safe and affordable housing is that you move into a space that feels like a resurrection story. I want you to hear from our brother Sam as he describes what that has felt like for the last year.
So it was about a year ago that I got my housing to go through. I was out on the street for about a year. It's a shock when you are homeless at first, but then if you're out there long enough, you start getting into that groove of like survival mode almost. You gotta like find something to eat every day. You gotta try to take a shower every day, find a place to take a shower every day. Being able to just, you know, have a place to go or having housing and just be out of the elements and not worry about, oh no, it's gonna rain today. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do with my stuff? And you don't have that worry anymore. And it's just like a burden off your shoulder to be able to say, you know, I have a place to stay. It's just an unbelievable feeling.
Amen. As a church, we have an opportunity to lean in, to give and to participate in ways that we could see hundreds and thousands of our brothers and sisters leave the streets and find safe and affordable housing. Over the next year, you're gonna hear a lot from me about some projects we're working on our land here in our downtown campus, about an office building that we're seeking to rehab in West Houston. It's a beautiful old building that needs some restoration. It's currently vacant, that we believe can be dormitory style housing for hundreds of people. Ecclesia, I want you to lean into these stories. Will you join with me as we sing the second verse, maybe my favorite, as we celebrate our kids? How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy she gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because fear is gone, because I know, oh, He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Ecclesia, if you want to see a resurrection story up close, I want to invite you to our Lendale campus. This building was essentially vacant. It had become dormant and unused by a church. And over recent years, we've done a massive renovation. And I got to tell you, it's our most active campus because all week things are happening. Thousands of people go through this building over the course of a week. It's a place where we rock babies in the Head Start program. We care for kids so that moms and dads can go out and work and thrive. That's Mariano Rivera, the second greatest pitcher of all time that helped us open it. And it's not just open now, it's thriving. We have English classes where people can come and learn English. They can move from an English class to a technology class. When they finish a technology class, they get a laptop that helps them get a job. Kids are getting tutoring. People are working in the gardens. There is activity and life, and it's beautiful. A building that was once dormant is now a place where we can thrive, where you can go and you can help people with their English and you can work on your Spanish, because together we want to be a part of these stories. So join with me and sing. Will you stand with me as we sing the last verse that reminds us where we are all going and what God has planned for us? And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He lives, because He lives. I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lived. Ecclesia, we're living the resurrection every day when we choose to serve in a radical Jesus way. It's happening all around our community. When sisters like Paulina Strom show up faithfully as a family ministry volunteer and show our kids the love of Jesus in a beautiful way. It's what happens when our beautiful sister, Charity Bostick, who's not just a public school teacher and a mother to great kids and a wonderful wife, she's showing up at our Lendale campus to help others learn English, to participate in resurrection life. It's like our brother Malcolm Bailey, who's experienced the profound loss this year of his fiance, but continues to show up week after week to volunteer on our worship team at the West Side. It's like our brother Ezra Frazier, who brings so much life, not only to the student ministry, but to come and serve with the kids, to express love to our kids in beautiful ways. It's what happens when Jules Graham shows up every week faithfully to pray with you, to be with you, to welcome you when you get here. It's what we see in Los Mujeres de Lendale, The women that serve so faithfully, Carmen, Yuri, Araceli, Dana, and Marina, not only are they leading at Lindale, but they've gone on to get some theological education so that they can lead better because they want to serve well. It's what happens when Pauline Ramos takes leadership of the women of Ecclesia, or when Brock Beasley will serve in the band, or he's willing to run slides or to greet people in his section. It's what happens when Judy Shirley shows up every week as a shower host and treats our brothers and sisters who are there for a shower like they're a rock star because they're made in the image of God. Ecclesia, these are resurrection stories. This is the life we're made for. Will you sing the chorus with me, but sing it the way we sang it at Lindale yesterday? Use your broken Spanish and join us with passion. Porque él vive. Porque él vive. Vivaré mañana, porque él vive, ya no hay temor, porque yo sé que el futuro es suyo. La vida vale más y más solo por él. And in inglés, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. God, we thank you for your resurrection power. We believe and we pray today that the resurrection would be more than a theological concept or an idea. That when we walk through loss and pain and suffering, that we would lean into the beauty and the truth of your resurrection. That we would see our brothers and sisters that may be struggling with addiction or mental health, and we'd be reminded that you long to experience a resurrection story in their lives as well. And for each of us, like Peter, to be reminded that our failures do not define us. You're not done with us yet. You have more in your plans. Lord, may it be so. We pray all of this together, and we pray it in your name. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Ecclesia, will you take a seat where you are, and Paul's going to guide us through the Eucharist.